Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, November 8th, otherwise known as Election Day. Also, Tyler, it is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Daniel.
Thank you. All I want for my birthday is for a certain person to win to be president. And
I'm you got to have some big plans. Come on. What does Daniel Green do? Tell them.
No, I'm dead serious. Tomorrow I have no plans because I'm just going to watch the election stuff and I just want to be alone. I'm very nervous over this. I don't want to talk politics on this podcast, but everyone should go out and vote and take care of that. And, there's also a decent slate of DFS games. And first of all, we're taping this. It's late. Actually, it's like 12:40 in the morning on a late Monday night. Just a miserable DFS night for me. This is my worst day of the year that I've had. Just brutal. There were seven games on Monday. Five were blowouts. And like the only game that wasn't a blowout was, of course, the Golden State game against New Orleans, where Golden State was a 17-point favorite. Steph Curry currently has 10 three-pointers and like 37 points, actual points. I'm sure like a bazillion FanDuel points. I faded him completely, Tyler. First time all year I haven't played him at all. And guys that I had, guys like Paul George, who I think I'm going to take a direct flight to Indiana tomorrow and just try to speak to him directly and give him like a pep talk because he's killing me. Like, just killing me, Tyler.
I thought you were going to say we were going to try to punch him in the face or something.
No, I don't want to punch him in the face. I just want to figure out what's going on. He's just been – I don't know if he's hit value all year. It's just been a really tough – and Indiana, they're – just so up and down too as a team. And I had Markieff Morris tonight. He was a mess. And to top it off, KCP, who I had in every one of my lineups, he had 2.2 FanDuel points, one actual point, and one rebound as Detroit got beat by like a bazillion points by the Clippers. So I'm just glad Monday night is over with and we can move on to Tuesday's six game slate, which is a pretty nice slate for a Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean there's some pretty fun games, so I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, but this is kind of the one nights. And first of all, anyone tells you who they don't have losing nights in DFS, they're full of crap. I mean, this you know, you gotta just shake it off. And I mean, it was just a kooky, weird night. I mean, you had five, like you can't predict five blowouts. So it was just just one of those nights. So you know, hopefully you guys did better than me. But shake it off, and we'll bounce back and make some money on Tuesday. I was going off three straight days before that were fantastic. So. Yeah. Anyway, we will make the money back tonight, Tyler. You ready, big? You ready? Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention who's joining me tonight. You know who it is. It's the wild man himself, Tyler Watts, Tyler 44444 or something like that, right? what's your Twitter name?
Watsy. So that's WATTSY 4444.
There you go. And let's do a little housekeeping before we get into the games and the top plays. So all of you know, I am the judge on Twitter, hopefully you should know that by now. I run a daily tournament called the Chambers. Man, the demand for that is going through the roof lately. So, but I'm trying to make sure if you want to get in, you will get in. So if you just want in or you haven't been able to get in because it fills up pretty fast whenever I tweet out the link, just hit me up on Twitter, let me know, and I'll try to do my best to make sure you get in it. It's a lot of fun. Also, I tweet out about an hour or a half hour before lineup lock, what's called my core four in both cash games and GPPs. As I've said on previous shows, my core four. Because, I mean, lately, I've been getting a lot of tweets like, you know, who are your top cash game plays of the day? Who are your top, you know, GPP plays? So, you know, and if I have time, I'll definitely get to that and answer it. But I mean, if you just look for my core four, I mean, that basically tells you my top plays, my core four and cash. That's kind of the four main guys I have in all my cash lineups. The core four for GPPs are the four, you know, main guys I have in my GPPs. And as I've said previously, it's not always four players. I just like to call it a core four. It could be five players, could be six. It's always, you know, depending on the night, depending on the slate. So that's just some housekeeping for those of you new to the DFS realm and new to kind of following me on Twitter. Yeah. Sound good, man?
Let's get into it. Let's do it.
All right. So we got six games. Oh, first, let's go through injuries for Tuesday. The guys are going to be out. Kyle Korver. Thank God, because he sucks lately. Grievous Vasquez. one of the most boring players to ever watch in the NBA. But once he gets back, he will get minutes. Will Barton is out. Larry Nance Jr. suffered a concussion. I know that crushed a lot of people yesterday on Sunday night in that I think it was Lakers Phoenix, I think, where a lot of people play Larry Nance, and he got a concussion really early. So that was a tough blow. He's going to be out. That should open up some more minutes for Julius Randle, and who else will get minutes for with Larry Nance out? Tariq Black?
Is that Tariq Black will probably get a few. The Maws might get a couple more.
Yeah. So
probably looking at that. Yep.
And Brandon Wright is out. So nothing new, nothing big with him. Doubtful Deron Williams. I would expect him to miss Tuesday's game. Fire up JJ Barea. Get him in the cash games right now. Use him in GPPs. The little man, he's been beautiful. He's a consistency monster. I love it. He's just so solid. He's just been really good this year and last year whenever he gets minutes.
And he's like my height, so I mean that's just
fun to watch. Yeah, is he 5'7"? 5'6"?
I am not sure.
He might be listed as like 5'8", but I would be shocked if he was that tall.
I think he's like 5. They say he's 6 foot. There's no way he's 6 foot.
Come on. There's no way. He is 5'8".
He is legitimately listed at 6 foot tall.
That's insane. I mean, like 5'8" at best.
I was going to even say shorter than that. So
yeah, I mean, he very well might be. Guys that are questionable: Mike Conley, of course, because Memphis has to play with our heads. Tony Allen and Wilson Chandler. That stinks for Wilson Chandler because he was coming off a really nice stretch, playing really well. If he is out and doesn't play. And again, make sure you monitor the news. Man, as we'll go into in a couple of minutes, I really do like Gallo for tomorrow. His price has come down, so I'm a big fan of him. I mean, I'm not sure if this would change Nurkic, Jokic, those Bobos, if that's going to help their minutes. Darrell Arthur, I'm not sure.
Well, they're kind of running out of wing-type guys here. Obviously, they have a lot of the shooting guard injuries, and they're trying to keep Gary Harris's minutes down. So it's either they play some of those big men more minutes, or they play Mike Miller, who I did not even realize was still in the NBA, but he is an actual thing.
Why hasn't he played yet this year? Mike Malone is just not playing him?
He has played 4 minutes in one game, and he got a whopping 2.7 FanDuel points. So. But, yeah, no, I think he's just 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I remember like 4 years ago, Mike Miller, when he was at Miami, he was basically saying he's going to retire because he couldn't take the abuse on his back anymore. So, yeah, I think I knew he was in the NBA. I just didn't know what team. So, yeah, but that's amazing. He's still getting a check for $10 million to do nothing. But good for him, I guess. So let's get to the games, man. Six games. None of them are really supposed to be blowouts, but, after tonight, after Monday night, God only knows. Atlanta-Cleveland, if there was one game that Vegas thinks is going to be a blowout, it would be that. Cleveland's favored by 8.5. That's a 207 over-under. That's a decent game. The best game of the night in terms of over-under would probably be Phoenix at Portland. So that's the game I'm probably going to look to target the most. I also really like this Dallas Lakers game. That's 205.5 over under. I mean, God, can you believe the Lakers are pretty good, man. And they're really fun to watch.
I really have enjoyed watching them this year. The minutes get a little crazy for the fantasy, but overall they've been playing really well.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Luke Walton is that basically no one gets over. If anyone gets over 30 minutes for the Lakers, I mean, you basically do a little dance. Even Randall, he struggles to get over 30 minutes, and Russell. I mean, those guys they hover around the 28 to 29 minutes. It's funny. On Tuesday, I mean, all the games are pretty close. They're all – the over-under is all 202, between 202 and 207. And then you got the one – the Portland-Phoenix game, which is 217. So, but there's no horrible over-unders any games you want to avoid, really. It's six games, and you can probably target guys from all the games.
Yeah, and you'll see when we get to the plays. I mean, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of good plays tomorrow. So,
yep. First day of a back-to-back: Nets, Hawks, T-Wolves, Suns, Trailblazers, Mavericks. I don't look at the first day of a back-to-back too much. unless it's like the Spurs. So that doesn't worry me too much. The second day of a back-to-back, that I use, especially if I'm like torn between two different players, I'll kind of use as a tiebreaker sometimes. So the Pelicans are the only team that will be on the second day of a back-to-back, and they're coming off of a, looks like they're in a really tight battle with Golden State. So they're, you know, guys like Anthony Davis played big minutes on Monday night. I'm just checking the box score really quick to see if that game. It looks like Golden State pulled away a little bit in the fourth, but still, you know, looks like the Pelican starters played big minutes on Monday. So you can be a little bit weary of the Pelicans, guys.
Yeah, and strangely, Sacramento is favored by 6 points in that game. So that
Should not be allowed. Like Vegas is like smoking crack, because like Sacramento should never be allowed to be a 6 point favorite.
Although, is New Orleans good?
New Orleans is atrocious, but Sacramento is also atrocious. You know, I think me and you discussed on our last show we did a couple of days ago when we were like, you know, they're going to get blown up by Toronto. It's their fifth game of the week, and then they beat Toronto though. So maybe that's why Vegas is a little higher on them now.
Vegas is riding their hot streak.
Exactly. Let's move into the top plays, man, or top plays at each position.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's go. We'll start off with point guard. Usually I love point guard, and I do not love it for Tuesday. I am, like, scratching my head already, figuring, oh, my God, for cash games, who am I going to play? For GPPs, where do I want to go? It's not a sexy position on Tuesday, surprisingly. By the way, Steph Curry ended the day on Monday. 46 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 13 three-pointers. I think that's the NBA record. I think the NBA record was 12. So I think he got the NBA record with 13 three-pointers. So it looks like he busted out of his slump, huh? Yep.
That was coming, Daniel.
Zero. Can you believe I played zero Steph Curry? That unbelievable. Anyway. All right, so the top play of the day at point guard is Damian Lillard. The thing with Dame is price has, and rightfully so probably, has risen. So now it's approaching 10K. It's 9.8K. Like, if you look at his box scores, man, like he's he's a really good player. He's a pretty safe floor. But he's only really kind of hit value, I think, in about half his games. So this price is pretty dang high. Now, I do love the game, but it's Phoenix. I like the matchup. I love the over-under. But I don't love him on Tuesday. Now, with that said, as of right now, he is in my cash games. But I could easily see myself playing two value point guards and spending up elsewhere.
It is worth mentioning that they played Phoenix on 11-2, so about a week ago, and he played 40 minutes and got you 40.5 FanDuel points, which is not quite value, but I mean, anytime you can get 40 points in your lineup, I would say that's not the worst thing in the world to have. So, yeah, I'm not loving Lillard tomorrow, but I think he's a decent play.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that makes me love him more is that juicy over-under. So next up, Tyler, is Eric Bledsoe, 7.3K. He's kind of been a volatile volcano. I think the price is okay, but he's only reached value in 2 of 7 games. He's been between 23 and 38 FanDuel points. I mean, he's basically become the third wheel of that Phoenix team. Definitely he gets the third most shots. I mean, you have Booker and Warren getting all the shots, all the love, all the glory, all the hot sex from girls. And it's just those two are the ones everyone wants. So in some ways that makes makes Bledsoe kind of a sneaky play on maybe a larger slate. I still think his ownership will be decent for Tuesday, but he's going to be a GPP only play for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that he had 33.4 FanDuel points in that game they played against Portland last week. The thing you like about Bledsoe tomorrow is Damian Lillard cannot guard anyone.
Anyone.
So you like that as far as the matchup goes. So, I mean, I'm not loving Bledsoe tomorrow either, but, I mean, I could see throwing him in some lineups.
Yeah, like, you know how, like, the last few years, I mean, I don't think we have Vines. I think they got rid of Vines on Twitter, but there used to be all these Vines about, like, James Harden's defense and, like, people just blow by him. Like, there would be the exact same thing for Dame Lillard because he doesn't play defense at all. He doesn't even try. And in some ways, I guess I understand because he carries so much of the offensive load. But his defense really is atrocious, and you can attack him on that side of the ball for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of an underrated thing about Portland is neither him or McCollum really play much defense at all, and so they're a really great matchup for anyone going against them that's a guard.
Yep. Next up, a guy that I do have in my cash games right now, that's Kyrie Irving. The price is too low for this guy. I mean, he should be an 8K player. He's too talented to be priced at 7.3K. Versus Atlanta, a nice matchup. I mean, Dennis Schroeder, talk about a guy who doesn't play much defense. Not a good defender there. I think Kyrie's price is staying low because, I mean, he's coming off the worst game of the season for him. He's been between 21 and 41 FanDuel points this year, but I think his floor is basically around 30. I think there was one or two games that were outliers. So he's a pretty safe play for me. I guess you're a little worried about a blowout here, but he's still – at that price, I'm very fine with using him in cash games. And also, he's got upside to use in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely prefer him maybe to Eric Bledsoe tomorrow. I think that coming off that 21-point game, he's been over 30 every other game, like you said. So, I mean, I actually really like Kyrie tomorrow. I think it's a good matchup, and I think he could really bust out a little bit.
Yep. Next up, Mike Conley. Hell no. Hell no. I don't want any part of this guy. He's questionable. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to have news before lineup lock. Like his price came up a pretty significant amount. He's now 7.1K. You know, the last two games, he's actually been really good, 53 and 37 FanDuel points. So, you know, if we do find out he's going to be playing, then I will probably throw him in some GPPs. And against Denver is a pretty good matchup. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to envision him playing if he's questionable. I mean, Memphis is one – they – I guess there's a bunch of teams that are frustrating me to start the year, but Memphis is definitely one of them. The way that they're yanking around Conley and Gasol, it's tough to play these guys if we don't know their status, going into the day.
I mean, I totally agree. They're listening in with a hamstring injury.
You can't mess around with a hamstring either.
And that's what I mean. Like, but is he actually hurt? Like, I don't really know. I don't really have a good read on this situation, but I can tell you that he's definitely questionable, so he's like 50-50 to play tomorrow. And, I mean, I wouldn't be risking him in anything except for, like, maybe a big GPP, just hoping no one takes a shot on him and you're the guy standing there with a 50-point FanDuel game at the end of the night.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, just check the news. If early in the day you find out he's playing, feel free to throw him some GPPs. But I'm nervous about him just in general, and also a hamstring worries me in particular. So next up, Darren Collison, 6.5K. Look who's making his season debut on Tuesday night. Very exciting. I wish the price was a little bit lower, but fantastic matchup versus the Pelicans, who don't guard any position. So they say he's got no minutes restriction, so I guess it's just a matter of how good a shape he stayed in, during his suspension, which, they could use him. So I'm not going to go crazy and use him in cash games in his first game back. But maybe if I'm doing 20 lineups, I use him in like two GPPs maybe.
And here's the thing I think I like best about playing Darren Collison tomorrow. A, the matchup, and B, Ty Lawson, Garrett Temple, Jordan Farmer, who got waived today, have kind of been a disaster point guard situation. So you got to think that they're going to give Collison pretty much all the minutes he can handle tomorrow. And, I mean, in that matchup, you love that.
Yeah, in season-long leagues, RIP to Ty Lawson. Sorry, Ty, your time has come to an end.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that they're going to settle him in around, somewhere between 30 and 35 minutes a night for Collison, and Lawson's going to be picking up the scraps, and they might even let Garrett Temple pick up the scraps and just not play Lawson at all. Lawson's looked bad the last few games.
Yeah, that would not surprise me one bit. Next up, Schroeder, Dennis Schroeder, man. I finally played him. I unleashed Schroeder in some lineups because Atlanta was up against Houston in a fantastic matchup a couple days ago, and he responded and played really well for me. So the price went up a little bit to 6K at Cleveland. I just don't think he has a great ceiling. Against Houston, I just played him because of the matchup. Like, I think the price is okay. I think he's like, if you wanted to throw him in a cash game, you probably can, but I just don't see. It's hard to envision him exploding for like a 40, 50, 50 point FanDuel night. So, and not the best matchup in the world, even though Kyrie's not a great individual defender. So I won't use a ton of Dennis on Tuesday.
I totally agree there. I mean, I think he's worth mentioning and worth throwing in a couple lineups if you're going to play a lot, just because, he could have a nice 30, 35, maybe even 40-point game. probably tops. But I'm not loving that play tomorrow.
Yep. Next up, D'Angelo Russell. He's a guy that who I like. It's weird. Normally, I like guys in like DFS or fantasy more than I do in real life. He's the opposite. I like him more in real life than I do in DFS. Like the problem is just the minutes. Like, you know, as we've already said, Luke Walton likes to play every dang player on the team, including he has a mission to play Nick Young the most minutes out of any Laker. So Russell, he's going to struggle to get around 30 minutes. He's going to be productive when he gets the minutes, but he's been between 14 and 44 FanDuel points. So, you know, not a cash game player for me. GPP onlys at this point. I think he's a decent tournament play, but because the minutes are, he can't get a ton of minutes. I don't think the ceiling's that high either. So, you know, I'm not going to use a ton of him. I'll use a little bit in tournaments.
Oh, yeah, and you like the matchup tomorrow. I mean, especially if Darren Williams is out. I mean, J.J. Barea.
J.J.'s a sneaky good defender, man. Like, he gets in your head, man. He especially like, on ball.
Yeah, I mean, he tries hard, but I just think that Russell's going to be able to shoot over him, and just I think he's going to have a decent game tomorrow.
Next up, a guy I wasn't going to mention, but I will only because he exploded in his last game, and that's Emmanuel Mudiay. He put up 40 FanDuel points last game, but the game before that it was like 12. You know, he's 5.8K. I think I like, you know, the other value guys a little bit more, especially because of recency bias. He's probably going to be a little highly owned on Tuesday. He's at Memphis, so it's going to be not the best game in terms of pace. So not a guy I'm going to play a ton on Tuesday.
Yeah, totally agree. He's been kind of boom or bust so far this year, and you know, I'm not looking for a boom game. I'm looking for a bust game tomorrow.
Yep. Next up, we've already mentioned. Oh, I love this play, J.J. Barea. Oh, it's so sexy, Tyler. It just makes me so happy. 5.8K. I got for J.J. though. That's getting now. It's starting to get a little. It's 5.7. What'd you do? As I was saying that, Tyler was changing his price on our sheet. Is it 5.7K?
Yeah. No, I messed it up. I accidentally did the wrong thing earlier.
So that is now kind of getting on. That's like the. That's the most he should be priced, though. Now we're talking about – so he's got to get us, like, almost, you know, 30, 28 FanDuel points on hit value. So the price is coming up. He's 5.7K. So I still think he's a great FanDuel play against the Lakers. I mean, a great cash game play against the Lakers. But the ceiling is not that high. I mean, it's kind of – you know, it's like JJ's height in real life. I think it's somewhat limited. So I do love him for cash games. I'm not sure how much I'm going to unload on him in tournaments. I didn't realize the price now had come all the way up to 5.7K. I mean, think about it. He's priced now the same as like D'Angelo Russell, basically. So I still love it for cash games, and I'll find a way to throw him in tournaments too. But it's weird though, because I mean, none of these point guards have a ton of upside, you know, quite honestly. So he's a good play.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been a pretty safe right around 30 points pretty much every game, and. You know, you got to maybe bump that up a couple points because that Lakers matchup, you know, I mean, I don't think Russell, you know, Clarkson, those guys, Lou Williams, they're going to be playing the greatest defense in the world. So, I mean, I like JJ tomorrow a lot, and especially in cash games for a safe, like 30, 32 points.
I'll say this though. I've actually been surprised by how good the Lakers defense has been. I thought they're going to be top, you know, bottom five team in the league in defense. Their defensive efficiency is like top. It's not tremendous, but it's like top half of the NBA. I think it was like 13th or 14th last time I looked. So it's a lot better than I originally envisioned, and that's one reason why this game only has an over under of 205.5 right now. It's not
they're
like
playing at such a high, crazy high pace that like they're still allowing a lot of points. I mean, they allowed 108, 97, and 116 in their last three games, and then 108 the game before that. I mean, like, the pace is so high that, yeah, okay, even if they're playing decent defense, they're still allowing a ton of points because they're shooting so quickly.
Dude, I mean, like, last year, a Dallas at Laker game, over-under would have been 215. It's 205.5. So,
I think Dallas is pulling that down a little bit just because, I mean, who the heck are you predicting to score if you're Vegas from Dallas?
I'm just telling you, if you look at the analytics of the Lakers defense, their defense is pretty good.
No, I agree. They have been – a lot better than they were last year on defense, but I'm saying I still think it's going to be a high scoring game just because of the pace.
All right. So I was trying to look up a box score and I don't remember what I was trying to do as we got in that heated debate over Lakers defense. Oh, I know. Well, I know. I want to do. I was looking up Tim Frazier's stats for Monday night. That's why I wanted to figure see what that was. So on Monday night, Tim Frazier. Wow, he had another guy didn't play at all Monday night. He played tremendous. 13 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. Way to go, Tim Frazier. So he's the next guy up. 5.4K at Sacramento. He's a guy who was starting to struggle. The minutes were starting to come down a little bit. I was getting worried that maybe it was, you know, his little run here to start the year was going to be over. But he's come back. Tim Frazier back in play. 5.4K, that's a fair price for him. I don't think I want to use him in cash games on a back-to-back. But I'll probably throw him in a couple tournaments now. I love, as I mentioned on a previous show, I love doing the combo of playing him with Anthony Davis in some lineups. So, and Anthony Davis had a really good game on Monday as well. So, he's back in play for me on Tuesday.
Here's kind of what I wanted to mention. They've played 2 back-to-back sets so far this year. In the first game of the back-to-back, he played 34 and 37 minutes. In the second game, he played 25 and 15 minutes. And if you're looking at FanDuel points, he had 40 and 44 in the first game of the back-to-back sets, and then he had 18.3 and 7.2 in the second game. He's clearly not playing as much in the second game of back-to-back so far this year, and clearly the production has been not very good. And now maybe that's not a trend going forward, but I think it's worth mentioning that he's been bad in second of back-to-back so far this year.
Do you know, real quickly, and if you don't, you can just say, were either of those games blowouts on the second game of back-to-back?
I am not looking at that, so I can't tell you. I think that Memphis game where we couldn't figure out why he only played 15.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, that's something to consider, I guess. So yeah, so probably not cash games, but in tournaments, I think he's fine. The last guy, Chris Dunn, 4.8K at Brooklyn. Remember, Rubio's still out. He's been getting 30 minutes a game. The last game, he only had 17 FanDuel points, but he was in foul trouble against Russell Westbrook, and OKC blew them out late in the third quarter, so he didn't play. I mean, none of the starters played in the fourth quarter. So I still really like him at 4.8K. I've really liked watching him play, quite honestly, too. So at Brooklyn, a very nice matchup. You could play him in cash games as far as I'm concerned, and tournaments as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's getting 30 minutes, which you like to see that. And he's doing a lot of different stuff. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of steals. He's getting some assists. He's getting some rebounds. He's getting some points. And so, I mean, at that cheap salary, you just like him. He's a good play tomorrow.
Yeah, he does not need to score like actual points to give you fantasy points.
I totally agree.
All right, let's go to you want to do shooting guard, man?
Yeah, all right. So first top shooting guard on the board tomorrow, CJ McCollum, 7.1K. Obviously, they're playing Phoenix, like we already mentioned. He had 41 and 50 FanDuel points in the last 2 games. He's a crazy volume shooter. So what are you thinking about CJ McCollum tomorrow?
You know, he's it's funny. The first there's going to be a lot of shooting guards that are one-trick ponies on – Tuesday, which basically means that they're completely scoring dependent. So CJ McCollum is one of those. When he's hot and when he's on, he's going to give you a good game. If his shot's off, he's going to kill you all your lineups. So he did bust out for 48 FanDuel points the last game, but you know these one trick ponies. You know I'm not huge fans of. I do like the over under of I think it's 217, the over under, is that what it was? First Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm obviously going to use him in GPP just because of the upside and he gets tons of minutes. I just, as of now, I do not have him in my cash game lineup, but I'm sure he's going to be on a lot of cash game. He's going to be in a lot of cash game lineups too, but he will not be in mine as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I actually read the wrong one. He had 17 FanDuel points and 48 in the last 2 games. Last week against Phoenix, he did manage to have 35 FanDuel points. So, I mean, that's decent, but I'm not loving him tomorrow. Next guy up, Devin Booker, 6.7K, same game. He's the guy who had the 41 and the 50 FanDuel points the last 2 games. Another guy who just gets a ton of shots. You love the matchup. I mean, CJ McCollum can't really guard anyone. What do you think about Booker tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to have some Phoenix Portland stacks. So I'm definitely going to have some games where I play McCollum and Booker as both as my two shooting guards on FanDuel. I do like Booker. I mean, the problem with Booker here is another, he's another one trick pony. He is coming off these two great games, but his price has gone up $800 now. And I think since the last time he played, he was 5.9K. I think if not yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yeah,
so,
it was on Sunday.
Yeah, so that's a big jump for a one trick pony, for a guy who's completely scoring dependent. So that, you know, that and the fact that recency bias, he's going to be really highly owned. I'm not going to be playing a ton of him, except the rest of shooting guards suck so bad, I probably will be forced into it. But, you know, so right now I'm just struggling to figure out if I want to play, you know, McCollum and Booker and Cash. I mean, like, the more that I'm looking down at the rest of the shooting guards, which we'll talk about in a second, maybe you do. I mean, the good thing about both of these guys, even though they're one-trick ponies, they're locked into a lot of minutes. And they're locked into a lot of shots. So I might have to rethink my thinking. Or that doesn't make sense. Rethink my thinking, right? Rethink my strategy. How about that? I might have to rethink. It's late, guys, man. Cut me some slack. I might have to rethink my strategy on if I want to use those guys for cash games. But just be wary that his price has gone up $800.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Not the greatest play tomorrow with that increase in salary. Next guy up, Zach LaVine. 5.9K, the game's at Brooklyn. Now, he's coming off his worst game of the year where he scored 9 FanDuel points, but he'd been really consistent the rest of the season before that. He basically had between 27 and 35 FanDuel points every game. So what are you thinking about LaVine tomorrow?
Yeah, I love me some LaVine on Tuesday. Right now, I do have him locked in as my cash game shooting guard on FanDuel as one of them. Even though, like you said, he is coming off of a really bad performance against OKC. Like, Oladipo is a pretty good defender, man. Like, every time I watch him play, and especially because he doesn't get the ball on offense anymore, so he can, like, devote all of his energy on defense because Westbrook, you know, just does everything on the offensive end. So, you know, I think that's why LaVine struggled a bit. It was just a weird game for him. So he's been consistent. I think he's got a safe floor and I think a nice ceiling. And, you know, unlike, you know, him and Booker are basically gone in opposite routes. His price is coming down. Booker's is going up. So LaVine becomes a nice play on Tuesday.
Yeah, totally agree. Next guy up, you got Jordan Clarkson, 5K against Dallas tomorrow. He has 24, 21, and 25 FanDuel points in his last three games. What are you thinking about Clarkson tomorrow?
It just annoys me because he's just not getting enough minutes to give me the big ceiling to take down a GPP. I think he's a safe floor. I think if you want to save some money to get LeBron and get Cousins and get some of these big studs in tomorrow, you could probably throw him in a cash lineup and feel okay about it. But it's just tough to be giddy like and laugh like a schoolgirl because, I mean, the upside just not there right now.
Yeah, totally agree there. Next guy up, your boy, Sean Kilpatrick,
4.9K. This is a guy who I can get giddy about.
Against Minnesota, he's had between 16 and 42 FanDuel points this year, but 32 and 42 in his last two games. Let's hear what you got to say about Kilpatrick.
I will tell you something about Kilpatrick. I still don't even know his first name. What's his first name?
Sean.
It is. Yeah. I thought it was Sean because I know a lot of people are like well on Twitter will say like SP. I think like in, was that like his nickname in college or something?
I'm not sure, but my one friend calls him Steve. So.
Oh. Well, all right. Well.
So
yeah,
you're not the only one.
But yeah, I love the Irishman Kilpatrick. He's not Irish at all. But dude, I don't know how good of an NBA player he is. I just know that Brooklyn, they need someone to score. And as Russell Westbrook would say, why not him? You know, why not Kilpatrick? Like, he's been a little inconsistent this year, you know, the 16, between 16 and 42 FanDuel points. But 32 and 42 FanDuel points the last two games, I don't see why that does not continue against Minnesota on Tuesday. They just need someone to score. Someone's got to score. So I like him. I like him in cash and tournaments too.
I totally agree. I mean, I think you brought up a lot of good points there. Most importantly being that if he played on another team, he may not even see the court.
Right.
But they need the shots. So he's going to play. He's going to shoot. He's probably going to score. And so that makes him a decent play tomorrow. Next guy up, Lou Williams, 4.8K. That's game against Dallas. He's had 31, 34, and 28 FanDuel points in the last three games. What do you think about Lou?
I mean, I haven't played him in any of those three games, but it's time for me to kind of change my tune on him. On a somewhat short slate, on our small slate on Tuesday, at a very reasonable price, a pretty good matchup against Dallas. Although I do not like playing guys who are guarded by Wes Matthews. But I'm going to throw him in a couple tournaments and hope that he goes off. But again, he's not going to get big. He's not going to get big minutes. Even if he gets hot, his minutes are going to be capped around 25 minutes. So, you know, he kind of is what he is. He's a one trick pony. But like, I'm trying to think of like what's an analogy? A one trick pony, but not like a top notch pony. You know what I mean? Because like McCollum and Booker, those are like top notch one trick ponies.
Oh yeah, totally. I get what you mean.
But Lou Will would be maybe not a pony. It's like something else. So if one of you guys on Twitter, tweet me out what we can call Lou Will, like a worse one trick pony. Because J.R. Smith, who we'll talk about next, is like in the same boat. So I mean, Lou Will, he's fine to play. Limited ceiling.
So next guy up, J.R. Smith, 4.3K against Atlanta. He's had 28, 22, 18, and 21 FanDuel points in his last four games. Call it a hunch by me, but I actually think J.R. is going to have a decent game tomorrow. What do you think about J.R.?
I don't think about him ever anymore. I don't want to think about him. He's very similar to Lou Will, though. I mean, yeah, at 4.3K, you certainly could play him, and he certainly could go off and make some threes, you know.
Here's the thing that I'm loving about him. Minutes for the last three games, 34, 35, 32. He's getting the big minutes. We all know he's a chucker. He's going to get his shots. And so eventually one of these games, he's going to bust out and hit five or six or seven three-pointers. And at 4.3K, I think that's a decent value for a GPP.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm definitely going to have some lineups tomorrow where, like, I play, like, J.R. Smith and Lou Will, like, in the same line. You know, or just play, you know, two really cheap shooting guards so I can just spend up on the rest of my – on the other positions. Now, I don't know if I want to play Lou Will and JR. That would be a little double risque. But I mean, like, the more – looking at these shooting guards, they're all one-trick ponies on Tuesday. I mean, there's, like – you know, they're all scoring dependent.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean,
next guy, we got to get to the next guy because you made fun of me on Sunday for putting him on the sheet. Uncle P, Swaggy P, Nick Young, 4K tomorrow versus Dallas, coming off that 35 FanDuel point game on Sunday that you mocked me for. He's reached value in his last three games and four out of his last five. What are you thinking about Nick Young tomorrow?
I think about J.R. Smith. He's basically a poor man J.R. Smith. Like, it's just shocking to me that he's getting so – that Luke Walton is playing him, like, the most minutes on the Lakers. It's just – but –
well, you know why that is, right?
He's allegedly, like, their best perimeter defender.
That's it. He thinks he's their best defender, so he's going to keep throwing him out there.
Which Byron Scott said he was the worst defender he's ever coached. So something doesn't
add up here. Here's the thing that actually – he's actually trying this year. I think him and Byron Scott just maybe hated each other. I don't know. The effort just wasn't there when Nick Young played last year. Now he's actually trying on defense, and – I'm not going to say he's a great defender, but who on the Lakers is that's a perimeter defender?
No, I know. And that's a fine theory. It is very interesting, right? I'm trying to think, who's the last player like 10 years into their NBA career, they suddenly became like a lockdown defender, you know, they were an atrocious defender their first 9 years, but like year 10, something like clicked. It's just like, it's unprecedented. But yeah, but 4K, dude, if he's getting like – if he's going to play 25 to 30 minutes, which he is, why not, man? Yeah, throw him in some tournaments.
Yeah, totally agree.
Also, like one other guy I want to bring up who not on the sheet here, and that's Wes Matthews. He's 4.6K. He's getting monster minutes for Dallas because Dallas sucks and they are just an atrocious team. I know he's crushed a lot of us the last couple of games. Like he had 16 FanDuel points his last game, but he played 44 minutes. You know, so, and he's had three games this year, half his games this year, he's played over 40 minutes. So he's locked in the huge minutes, only 4.6K. I've seen him get hot. Like he's not the same player that he was before the Achilles injury, but I think recency bias comes into play. I will definitely use him in some tournaments on Tuesday.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, not a bad play. Last guy I want to mention, 3.9K. I'm actually not even seeing him on the FanDuel thing, so maybe he's not even on there yet.
Yeah, he wasn't on there. He's not. Oh, no, he's on here. But the problem is Archie Goodwin's on here for point guard on FanDuel.
All right, so I just wanted to mention him. He got signed. So I mean, he could get the minutes. I don't really know if he's going to get big minutes or not, but I mean, it's maybe worth a flyer if you need someone playing Sacramento tomorrow. Good matchup. So
yeah, I'm not sure if the listeners were able to even know who you were talking about. So Tyler's talking about Archie Goodwin, who was just signed by New Orleans. So he's 3.9K, but he's listed as a point guard on FanDuel. So, you know, see if you can find out any new right now. It's not clear. I mean, how many minutes he's going to play, what the status is on Tuesday. But you know, as if you check the news, hopefully we can get some updates and then figure out. There's minutes to be had on that New Orleans team at point guard. So, he could be a sneaky play.
Yeah, and I mean, could you? It's not hard to envision him getting minutes over Tim Frazier, guys like that, Etuan Moore. I mean, those kind of guys. So
he could easily step into a 20-minute role, even with you know Tim Frazier getting 25 minutes, and then Goodwin could get you know 20 like immediately.
Oh yeah, totally agree. All right, ready to move on to small forwards.
Yeah, man. So small forward. God, I mean, the more I think about it, like this slate is lining up to be pretty horrible, quite honestly, in terms of players. Point guard was not good, and shooting guard was atrocious. Man.
It's not getting much better, but we'll keep going.
All right, small forward. Starts up with LeBron. He's gunning for like MVP of the NBA this year. He's been really good. He's 9.9K. That's a very fair price for LeBron. You know, we don't have to talk too much about him, but he's been super safe play. I mean, he's got a, you know, he's been between 36 and 56 FanDuel points this year, but really that 36 was an outlier. I mean, it's basically he's like a walking triple-double this year. I think his floor is about 43, 44 points, and his ceiling's basically, you know, so far he hasn't hit it yet, but his ceiling, he obviously can go for a big 60, 70 FanDuel point night. So, you know, nice matchup versus Atlanta. I think he probably should be in your cash games because you're probably going to have the money anyway. And he's obviously a good tournament play too.
Totally agree.
Next up, Rudy Gay. Speaking of the one-trick ponies, man, there he is, 7.4K. He was questionable, wasn't supposed to play on Sunday, and of course he did, and then Sacramento went on to beat Toronto. I'm not a big fan of playing him, but he's been pretty good this year, man. Him and DeMar DeRozan have been the two guys that I haven't been playing, and they've been burning me because they've been putting up really solid numbers, shooting the ball really well, usage rate I really like. So he's a guy on this type of slate who, you know, the price is a little bit higher than I would like, but I think it's somewhat fair, and I'll use him in tournaments. I'm not going to use him in cash games, but against New Orleans, doesn't play any defense, he's a fine play.
Yeah, totally agree.
Next up, TJ Warren. This guy's price, man, has went up like – I think it's went up close to about 1.5K in the last week and a half. He has been tremendous, like just taking over 20 shots a game, minutes, usage rate. There's not many negative things I can say about him. I mean, if you look at just his actual points, 30, 26, 15, 27, 18, 22, super consistent. He's been averaging 39 minutes the last three games. And around 37 FanDuel points. So the price is a little concerning for me, but I will definitely have a lot of exposure. The question is, do you want to use him in cash games? Like he's been super high owned, and he's been in everyone's cash games the last few games, the last few nights. But that was when his price was a little bit lower. But I still think at this price, he's going to be high owned, and he probably should be in your cash games. He's just playing too well right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I could definitely see throwing him in some cash games. Just a couple plays down a little further, I might like a little better, but I mean, I could see definitely throwing him in the cash games.
Yep. Next guy. This guy, man, Gallinari. I think he started the year close to about 7.5K, and he's at the Monster Games last year. This year, the minutes have been there, but he just, you know, he hasn't looked right. But now we're talking, Tyler. This is the kind of price where I'm taking a flyer on Gallinari. 6.1K, that's fair. It's reasonable. We already mentioned Wilson Chandler is banged up and might not play. Dear God, Gallinari got 41 minutes last game. So at Memphis, hopefully Tony Allen won't play. I think Tony Allen's questionable. So while he hasn't been hitting value yet, this is the kind of price where you throw Gallinari in some tournaments and he could help you win a lot of money.
Oh yeah, totally agree. Obviously, like you said, you don't love the matchup, but one of these days he's going to go off, and tomorrow should be a huge minute game. So he's got a shot.
Next up, Andrew Wiggins. Is everyone a one-trick pony right now? I mean, every player. I mean, dear God. So Wiggins is another guy. He's been okay to start the year. Just not great. He only has 6 assists on the year total. He has 2 steals on the year total. So, like, he's super one category dependent on actual scoring points. So that's why his price is a little bit lower. 6K. I don't want to use him in cash, but against Brooklyn, I'll probably throw him in a couple tournaments and hope he goes off.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that. He's pretty safe as far as the points go, but like you said, he gives you nothing else.
Nothing
So,
else.
I mean, it's hard to love him.
I mean, he makes DeMar DeRozan look like one of the best all around players in the NBA. Next up, the pencil, Harrison Barnes, 5.7K. Still too cheap. I know we love JJ Brea. I like Wes Matthews a little bit, but I love Harrison Barnes. He's a cash game lock for me right now, and I will use him in tournaments as well. I mean, we've seen that this guy actually does have some upside. I mean, he's hit 50 FanDuel points now in his last game at 34 actual points in Dallas's last game versus Milwaukee. He's had a couple games of over about 40 FanDuel points. So the minutes are there, shots are there. Dallas is an absolute mess. So I really like Harrison Barnes at the Lakers. I love the matchup. And give me all the Harry B you can give me on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. He's going to be hard to keep out of any of my lineups tomorrow. I mean, I just love the matchup, love the play tomorrow. Too cheap.
Agree. Kent Bazemore, 4.7K, Cleveland. I have not been feeling the Bays much this year at all. I mean, the price, he started the year, his price, I think, was about $1,000 higher. People were expecting a lot more. That price now has come down to a reasonable level. That 4.7K price may lead me to play him on Tuesday. He did have his best game of the year against Houston on, when was that? That was Saturday?
Saturday,
Yeah,
yes.
so it looks like Atlanta's had a couple days off. I mean, the one thing I'll say against Saturday, I mean, they played Houston, so it's hard to, that inflates their stats a little bit. But 4.7K, that's a fair price for someone who's gonna get, locked into about 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not loving the play tomorrow, and I think the recency bias is he had a good game in the last game, so a lot of people are going to throw him in there. He's going to be guarding LeBron at least some of the game, which is going to take some wind out of his sails, I would think. And I'm not loving him tomorrow, even at 4.7K.
Next up, Maurice Harkless. Surprisingly, Harkless has gotten 35, 32, 34 minutes the last game for Portland. And he's responded in giving pretty nice nights in FanDuel fantasy points, 24, 17, and 30. So he's going to be in my radar in the best over-under game of the night versus Phoenix. And I like the price range, and I think he's a very fine play on Tuesday.
Yeah, he got you 24 points in that game last week against Phoenix, and I actually like Mo tomorrow.
And lastly, if you want to punt and you want to just be very just torture yourself on Tuesday night, if not watching the election for some other reason, you can play Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games of the year, may have been the worst player in the NBA, and then he came out of nowhere to put up 38 FanDuel points against Charlotte. On I think it was on Sunday. So Brooklyn's had a bunch of days off too. The NBA schedule has been weird this year. So Hollis Jefferson, man, 3.9K. We already mentioned Brooklyn has they need someone to not only they need first of all they just need bodies. They need guys to play minutes. They need guys to take shots. I mean, Hollis Jefferson's one of those guys you're not relying on him to actually score points. He's the opposite of a one-trick pony. I mean, if you look at the game where he actually exploded, it was 11 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. And that's what he's really known for, his defense and steals. So he's back on my radar. And I think if you want to, throw him in some tournaments just to save some money and even cash games, I think it's fine. 'Cause he's definitely going to get at least 25 minutes. It's just he easily could have a game of 5 FanDuel points.
Here's, I guess, the thing I like about it. Wiggins is probably going to have the ball in his hands a good deal tomorrow. And, you know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson probably be matched up on him. And so you like the opportunity to get a few more steals, to maybe block a shot or two. And if he can do some of the ancillary things around that, you know, he could have a decent FanDuel point game at that real cheap salary.
Yep, agree. Why don't you take power forwards?
All right, power forward, top guy on the board, Anthony Davis, 10.8K at Sacramento. Great matchup. He had a 90-point FanDuel point game this year. The floor's been 25, so, I mean, obviously it's a little hit or miss, second of a back-to-back, but you got to love Anthony Davis tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just a little upset I didn't play him on Monday night. I mean, I guess the concerns here are he's a 10-man. It's the second night of a back-to-back, but I think you're going to have a ton of salary left over, and I think you got to throw him in your cash games. Actually, no, you don't, because I'm looking at other guys at power forward. Power forward is actually the one position that I do like on Tuesday. So you don't have to use him in cash games, but you certainly could. And you know, like you said, monster upside.
Yeah, totally agree. So next guy up, Paul Millsap, 8K. He's kind of been between 21 and 50 FanDuel points this year. He's had 45 or more FanDuel points in 3 of the 6 games. What do you think about Millsap tomorrow?
I love Millsap. I always play him in cash games, and he never lets me down. He's like my dog. He's always there for me. I love Paul Millsap. This is why, the more I think about it, I'm probably going to fade AD in cash games. Because I'm probably going to play Millsap and probably Kevin Love. Millsap is just tremendous. I mean, last game, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, 50 FanDuel points. I mean, it's just, I'm going to put him in my lineup and I'm going to sleep well. I mean, I don't love the matchup, but, you know, it doesn't concern me too much. And, they're coming off, I think, you know, we mentioned 2-3 days rest. So, I love me some Millsap Tuesday.
Yeah, totally agree. Next guy up, you got yourself some Kevin Love, 7.3K. They're obviously matching up tomorrow. He's been really consistent. So what do you think about Kevin Love?
Yeah, Kevin Love is a consistency monster. I mean, same with Millsap. I'm going to put him in my lineup and then not worry about it, man. The last 3 games, can't be more consistent than this, 34, 35, 35 FanDuel points. So he's basically giving you value or right on the cusp. He's only had one game where he's really struggled this year, and even that game, I think they blew out Orlando, so that's kind of an outlier. Just a super safe play, not the sexiest play. I don't think he's got the massive upside. But the one thing I'll say about Kevin Love, when I actually went back and looked at some more tape of watching their game, like, they're using him in so much better ways this year. It's really cool to see. Like, the last couple of years, he would get frozen out of that offense. He would just stand in a corner. Like, he's become really a focal point of that offense. Like, Ty Lue's made it a priority to get him involved more, and it's showing in his production for sure. And he's in a lot better shape to start the year. I think last season he had it was a shoulder injury, right? And he wasn't able to work out in the offseason. So he, like, lost a ton of weight and was getting, like, bullied around by defenders. This year, that's not the case. He's in, like, tremendous shape, and it's showing on the court. So I love me some Kevin Love, no pun intended.
Yes. So next guy up, you got Julius Randle, 6.3K in that game against Dallas. He's not getting the huge minutes, which you don't love, but he's been 39 and 31 FanDuel points in his last 2. What do you think about Julius Randle tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I wish Big Chunky was priced a little bit lower here, 6.3K. That's on the cusp of being too expensive for him because again, he's basically getting 30 minutes a night at best. So, but I, you know, he's him and Russell, you know, he's similar to Russell in the sense that I like them in real life better than I do in DFS right now. So I'm probably not going to play him in cash games because it's a little too risque, but GPPs, you know, versus Dallas. I mean, who's going to guard him on Dallas? I mean, and actually, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, because Josh Powell played like 10 minutes last game. Kyle Anderson played 10 minutes last game. I mean, what the hell is Rick Carlisle doing? I mean, I don't know. I mean, dear God. So Randle should be able to feast pretty well against a mediocre to atrocious Dallas squad.
You want to give those 2 players' names and another shot there?
I said D. Powell and something Anderson.
You said Josh Powell and Kyle Anderson. They're Dwight Powell and Justin Anderson.
You know what? That should be their names after the way that they played this year and the amount of money that they've lost me. those clusters.
All right, next up, Gorgie Dang.
First names are severely overrated, let me tell you.
So we should just call you Green from now on?
Yeah.
All right, Green, what do you think about Gorgie Dang tomorrow? 6K at Brooklyn, what are you thinking?
I mean, he's been so over-owned the last couple of games. And like, he's one guy that I've actually gotten right, and I just faded completely the last two. You know, he basically – and one reason I faded him, I think he's a fine player, but his price was, like, getting – it was getting close to, like, 6 – it was, like, 6.6K or something, like, ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, no thanks. And he responded with 23 and 8 FanDuel points. So now the price is back to where I think it's reasonable, 6K. That's fair. Brooklyn, very nice matchup. I think he's somewhat safe if you want to use him in cash games. Although I think Love and Millsap are a lot safer. But if you want to look into spending down a little bit in power forward, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You just got to hope that he gets back up there to that like 34, 35 minutes he was getting instead of the 28 he's been getting the last two games.
Yeah, just remember, one of those games was a blowout. So, I mean, the minutes don't matter that much for the last game.
Right. All right, so your favorite 5.4K tomorrow, you got these two guys matching up.
Dude, don't mention Denver. I don't want to hear it. If you're mentioning the Jokic, Nurkic, Arthur disaster.
Okay, well, no, I'm telling you, you got 5.4K left, okay, in your lineup. You need one of these two. You got Zach Randolph or you got Nikola Jokic. Which one are you going for?
Oh, you're making me quickly look at some Zach Randolph stats. All right. Let me first say this about Jokic. So his price has dropped about $1,000, and rightfully so. It's down to 5.4K at Memphis, not the best matchup in the world. I mean, the problem here, you know, as we've discussed numerous times now on the season long pod, on the DFS pod, to my dog, to the girl I met at the store today. Like, he's just not getting the minutes. It's minutes, minutes, minutes. He's been under 25 minutes in 5 out of the 6 games this year. He's been under 20 FanDuel points in 4 out of their 6 games this year. So, I mean, I would like to say he's a boom or bust player, but where's the boom, man? Where's the boom? I mean, I guess he had one 50-point game, but it's hard to, you know, it feels like a faint, distant memory at this point. However, it is there, so I'll throw him in a couple GPPs. If I'm playing, you know, if you play a lot of lineups like me, feel free to throw him in a couple GPPs, but you certainly shouldn't feel good about it, because you can't trust it right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Randolph's kind of the exact opposite, right? He's 5.4K. He's been getting right around 20 minutes and right around 25 FanDuel points like every game. I mean, he's just like consistent, consistent, consistent right there. And
you're absolutely right. So this is the exact definition of the difference between cash games and GPP. So if someone tweets me a question, which they do all the time, like Randolph or Jokic, I'd be like cash game, Randolph, GPP, Jokic. Then again, even for GPPs, if you want to use Randall, you probably could. But Jokic is he's only suitable for GPPs.
Yeah, totally agree. Next guy up, Al-Farouq Aminu. Hasn't been great in the FanDuel realm. He actually got 15 points in the last game, but then he had 31, 25, 28, and 28 in the 4 games before that. What are you thinking about Al-Farouq Aminu tomorrow at 4.8K?
I mean, he's volatile, so it's annoying, but the minutes have been over 30, so that part I like, but you can't trust it. You don't know what you're going to get when you play him. I do think this is a perfect game for him, and the tempo, the pace is suited for him, so I will use him sparingly on Tuesday.
Well, and he's going to be guarded by your boy Jared Dudley, so I figured you'd like that matchup.
Oh, dude, Fat Chunky. He should be able to just run laps around Fat Chunky.
All right, next guy up, 4.4K, Jermichael Green. He's gotten 33 and 31 minutes in 2 out of the last 3 games. He hasn't really produced the FanDuel points in the last 2, only 19 and 6, but then he got 32 in the game before that. What are you thinking about Jermichael Green?
Are you laughing because you read my note on him?
Yes.
No, you can read my note on there. I'm totally fine with it.
No, go ahead. Let him hear it.
So my note says, I warned everyone he sucks, which is true. I got a bunch of season-long questions on him. Like, he's just not a good basketball player. So, the only thing that I'll say here is, it means different because DFS, you taking salaries is a massive factor. So the price is fair because he is getting pretty big minutes. It's just, he's a guy that you know, we talked. I think I forgot who, which player this was, but that, it was on, you know, 2 days ago. We did our last DFS show. You know, if someone walked into a house and he couldn't get in the front door because the ceiling is just too dang low, that would be Jamichael Green's house. He couldn't get in the house.
I think it was Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, it's probably Bogut. Like, his just ceiling is so freaking low. So I am not excited about using Jamichael Green ever.
Yeah, I totally agree. Last guy we had, 3.8K, Dwight Powell against Dallas. Carlisle didn't really play him in the last game, but it's Rick Carlisle. He can change his mind in a heartbeat. And at 3.8K, I mean, it's a shot in the dark, but it could pay off big if he gets big minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if we hear some news that DePaul is going to be starting, fire him up in some GPPs. I mean, sadly, I used him a couple days ago in tournaments, and then found out that Anderson was starting. And then both Anderson and Powell played 10 minutes. So they both did squat. So Rick Carlisle, man. Yep.
All right, on to the centers. You got DeMarcus Cousins, 9.5K in that matchup against New Orleans tomorrow. What are you thinking about the Big Mope, as you like to call him?
Hashtag Big Mope of crap. We all know he's tremendous talent. 33% usage rate. I think right now it's like sixth in the league. But when the year ends, he'll be top three or four in the league in usage rate. You know, the price is very fair for someone this talented. Very tasty matchup versus, I guess, who's going to guard him? Like Omar Sheik, probably. So
I would guess.
You know, it's hard to, you know, normally I would just be jumping for joy at this matchup, but just he's been so annoying to play and watch this year. I'm just going to do like a slow golf clap. I think it's a really good play.
Yeah, totally agree. Next up, Carl Anthony Towns, 8.7K tomorrow at Brooklyn. He's been between 30 and 56 FanDuel points this year, but he's had 56 and 40 FanDuel points in his last two games. What do you think about the Cat tomorrow?
Yeah, the last two games he's been tremendous. Even the last game where he only had 40 FanDuel points, you know, he would have had way more, but Minnesota got blown out by OKC. He scored over 30 actual points the last two games. So this is an intriguing question. Who do you play in cash games if you had to choose between Carl Anthony Towns and Cousins? I like both these plays a lot, and I you know, either way I'm gonna have exposure to both of them on Sunday. I mean on Tuesday. Wow, Jesus.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, next up you got Dwight Howard, 8.2K at Cleveland. He's been 39, 46, 38, and 44 FanDuel points in his last four games, and he's got a pretty good matchup going head to head against Tristan Thompson. What are you thinking about Dwight tomorrow?
I kept waiting to hear news that Dwight's like out for the year after the last game, because you know he had his revenge game versus Houston where he was awesome, 20 points, 14 rebounds, 44 FanDuel points. He's surprisingly been a consistency monster this year. So you know, I think as long as he stays healthy, he's a really nice play. I mean, the problem here is with his salary of 8.2K, I think that's the way he's played. That's a fair price, but like it's just hard for him to like, you know, whereas I could see Towns or Cousins going off for 50, 60 FanDuel points. Dwight Howard's not getting above 32 minutes. Like that's his ceiling. So I don't see him having a monster game for GPPs, but I think he's fine for cash games. And if you want to throw him in some tournaments, you can. I just don't see him having, you know, the kind of explosive games that Cousins or Towns could.
Yeah, totally agree about that. All right, next up, Marc Gasol, 7.1K versus Denver. He's been 37, 42, and 28 FanDuel points in his last three games. What are you thinking about Gasol tomorrow?
So I have a rule that I live by. Some people like follow the Ten Commandments or you know, some other stuff. I follow the rule of always attack the Denver bigs, even the Nurkic, Jokic, Arthur Fareed boys. So. I like me some Gasol, 7.1K. That's very fair for someone of as talented as him. So he's fine if you want to use him in cash tomorrow. He's a fine cash game play, you know. And I think at 7.1K, he does have some upside too. So the center's actually a pretty nice position on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, I totally agree about that. Next up, you got Brook Lopez, 6.9K against Minnesota. He's been between 11 and 51 FanDuel points this year, and he only gets 29 minutes a game. But what are you thinking about Brook tomorrow?
Yeah, so Brook has become—he's not a cash game player for me anymore right now. Just the minutes. Yeah, he's another guy's minutes. Right now, his ceiling is 29 minutes on the year. Now, we've seen him have 51 FanDuel points in 29 minutes that, you know, one game, but the other games have been pretty horrendous. So 7K, normally, you know, 6.9K, that would be a fair price for him. You know, Towns, they'll probably put Dang on him, Gorgie Dang, who's a better defender than Towns, I think, right now. So I don't love Brook. I mean, you know, if you want to throw him in some tournaments, you can, but I'm not going to play a ton of him on Tuesday.
Yeah, next guy up, you got Nurkic. Now, Nurkic this time, 5.8K at Memphis. He only played 13 minutes last game. Who knows what's going on with them? But he could be good for GPPs just because I think a lot of people are going to fade him because he only got 13 minutes. What do you think?
Yeah, man, just get a dartboard and start throwing darts. And name one of the darts Nurkic, name another one Jokic. and start throwing him at the dartboard. I mean, you know, it, bad matchup against Memphis. You know, so everything for tomorrow or for Tuesday spells get away from the Denver bigs. I mean, they're volatile to begin with, especially on Tuesday. So that probably means they'll go off. So you know, centers are very nice position. Lots of good plays on Tuesday. So I'm probably not going to play a ton of him on first Memphis.
I'll totally agree. Something interesting to look at though is he's gotten more FanDuel points than minutes in every single game this year, which is pretty crazy.
Dude, he's a fantasy point per minute monster. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So you like that, but yeah, no idea if he's going to get the minutes. So I totally understand there. Next guy, Mason Plumlee, 5.2K in that Phoenix game. He's gotten 37, 23, 23, 26, 38, and 21 FanDuel points in his last six games. What are you thinking about Mason Plumlee tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, Plum Dog is someone that I look to if I'm looking to save at center because I want to spend up other spots. The problem here is his price has come up because, you know, you registered off his numbers. His numbers went up, so, you know, not surprising. His salary went up a little bit. So at this price range, I still think it's okay. I just don't love it. I'm trying to think if he's up against Phoenix. They do have a big of Chandler Len in the game at all times, so that helps for Plumlee. So it's fine. If you want to roll him out, I think he's relatively safe at this point. I mean, dude, his floor is like 21 FanDuel points, and so the first game at the start of the year, I'm not using that. If you don't use that game against Utah, his floor is like 21 FanDuel points. He only needs like 26, 27 to hit value. So, dude, I'm making this up on the spot. Dude, he's a pretty safe play, man. I like the play now. I like Plum Dog. Convincing myself.
That's why I put him in there is I think he's just really, really safe. And, I'm not afraid of that matchup. So it's a decent play. All right, you got two guys, 4.8K, next two up. You got Tristan Thompson. He's been a rebound monster. He recently had a 41-point game. Obviously, they're playing Atlanta tomorrow. And then you got Tyson Chandler in that Phoenix-Portland game, who's been 29, 35, and 26 FanDuel points in his last three games. You can only take one tomorrow. Are you going for Chandler or are you going for Tristan Thompson? I think I blew your mind right there.
Chandler or Tristan?
Yep. Same salary. Which one are you going for?
I guess I'd go Tristan. I mean, they're both pretty similar. Only reason I lean Tristan, I think he gets his minutes. He'll get I can't speak. He'll get a. you know when you have like 8 million things on your mind.
Yeah.
Like at once, so like you can't. You know, you're saying one thing, but you're thinking something else. That's what's going on here. Anyway, so.
A little bit safer floor for minutes. So I get what you're saying.
I think he's in, like he's basically locked. He's been getting closer to 30 minutes, whereas I think Tyson Chandler will be in the mid-20s. So I would go Tristan if I had to choose. Also, is the name Tristan, is that like a name that's dying out? Do we name anyone Tristan anymore?
No, but that's going to be the name of my first son now just because you mentioned it.
Like seriously, I think that name is dying, right? He could be the last Tristan.
Yeah, no, you don't hear it very much. All right, last play of the day. You got Timothy Mozgov, 3.9K versus Dallas. I basically wanted to bring him up because he's coming off his best game of the year. When you made fun of me for saying to play him on Sunday, he had 29 FanDuel points. So what are you thinking about the Moz tomorrow against Dallas?
I'm still not thinking about the Maz. If I want to spend low, well, I guess if I only have 3.9K salary left, then I'll play him. But otherwise, if I want a value center, I'd still feel more comfortable going Tristan Thompson, Plumlee, even Tyson Chandler. I mean, you know, and again, it's all because of minutes. Like the big, 22 minutes last game, and he played well, 14 points, 8 rebounds. But his ceiling seems to be about 24 minutes, which it's tough to get a lot done if that's your ceiling.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see tomorrow. Now, this might not be worth throwing him in your lineup, but it'll be interesting tomorrow if he gets a few more minutes with Nance out with his concussion.
Well, also, the problem here, Tyler, is it's like, does Dallas even have a big man? Well, I guess they have Bogut, right? So,
yeah.
So I guess when Bogut plays, he'll play. But Bogut plays like low 20s too, so I mean, you know.
Yeah, no. I actually played 34 in the last game, which surprised me.
I don't know how his arm didn't fall off if he played that many minutes.
All right, that's it for today. Take us out of here.
All right, guys. So I'm surprised you didn't mention Bogut on the list. Well, yeah, his price went up. 4.5K Bogut. Yeah, he played 30. I can't believe he played 34 minutes last game.
I know. That's surprising. That's
probably the most minutes Bogut's played in like 3 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it to stick around. And if it does, he's probably going to be injured. So,
all right, guys. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit for Tuesday. So not again, it's another kind of tricky, weird slate with only six games. And you're going to have to be pretty clever to come up with some very, very delicious lineups. But we have faith you can do it. Any questions for us? What's our email, Tyler?
dfbpod@gmail.com.
Otherwise, so you can
dfbpod@gmail.com.
Otherwise, you guys can always tweet at us if you have any questions or you want some feedback. Otherwise, good luck on your lineups for Tuesday. We'll be back for a monster Wednesday show. I think there's a ton of games on Wednesday. There always is, so that will be a fantastic show. And everyone, go vote on Tuesday. And have a good night, have a good day, and we'll be back tomorrow. Later, guys.